Welcome back to the Health Revival Show. We have Jay Campbell back for part two. If you guys have not listened to part one, stop this now. Go listen to part one because we unpacked so much in his story, his journey to the world of peptides and what he does now with BioLongevity Labs and all of his books. So go back there and listen to that. But today, first of all, thank you for coming back and giving more of your time and your expertise to our audience. We're excited to go through some just different like rapid fire peptide stacks and hear from you how you would address some of these things and then anything else that you want to talk about. So let's kick it off with some of the new products you were just telling us about from BioLongevity Labs and what you're excited about in this line.
Yeah. So first off, thank you guys or gals for having me back today. The first podcast episode was awesome. Appreciate being here. So as I was telling you off air, the two newest products, which actually by the time this runs, hopefully they'll be in the marketplace because I think we'll have them in the marketplace, but before August 10th, BioAmp Max and BioAmp. And these are both of these products contain what is trade name known as ATX 304, which is really OS01. Which is essentially a lot different from a lot of the newer supplements that we sell and a lot of other people in the marketplace are starting to sell, which are mitochondrial optimizing supplements like SLU PP-332. This product actually raises AMP kinase and it does it in a way that doesn't like overwhelm the body. And for those of you guys who are chemistry nerds, AMP kinase is kind of like the master metabolic rate switch in the body. And so when you can elevate AMP kinase, you can pretty much turn on cellular signaling and raise your metabolism. So,
all right, if you're dealing with water retention, you're waking up puffy, your ankles or your wrists are really swollen, or you can't get your rings off, and maybe you're even dragging throughout the day, no matter how much water you drink, there's actually a good chance that you're not actually hydrating properly.
Exactly. Because water alone is not enough. You need electrolytes. You need sodium, potassium, magnesium, because those things actually pull water into your cells. Otherwise, you're basically just flushing it out and wondering why you're still tired, you're still bloated, and you're still sluggish.
But here's the thing. Most electrolyte supplements out there aren't helping you in any way because a lot of them contain things like natural flavors, food dyes and maltodextrin, which can irritate your gut. And these things can also spike your blood sugar when you're trying to heal.
That's why we both started using Bui. It's super simple, just trace minerals and electrolytes in liquid form. No flavors, no colors, no sugar, no sweeteners. And you squeeze it into whatever you are drinking, water, coffee, tea, smoothies, you name it.
And it's clinically backed by science too. So studies have shown that Bui helps you hydrate better, 64% better in fact, and that's data coming from key blood and urinary markers, not just marketing fluff. And honestly, you can feel the difference. I've had many clients tell me their digestion's improved, they have less headaches, and they're better energy throughout the day.
And Bui isn't just for people that go to the gym all the time and sweat a bunch. They actually offer a 35% lifetime discount for anyone that's struggling with chronic illnesses. Things like POTS, Hashimoto's, Crohn's disease, chronic migraines, and every autoimmune condition. They're really committed to making better hydration accessible to people who need it most.
I actually throw it in my coffee every morning because it's such an easy upgrade. You don't even taste it, but you're definitely going to notice if you miss it.
If you're tired of playing hydration roulette and want something that actually supports your body, you've got to try Bui. It's honestly one of the simplest ways to feel better faster.
I've only used it, as I was telling you, it just came to me on Friday. So I've used it like for 4 days. It's definitely a pre-workout or a pre-cardio. I've only been using it for pre-cardio. My wife is in California, has been in California since Thursday and she comes back late tonight. So I was going to experiment with it tomorrow morning before her and I work out, and tomorrow's leg day. So I was going to take it before I do legs, but it really is intense in increasing sweating. But it also, because again, AMP kinase, it gives you energy. So like when you have AMP kinase like kind of tweaked or turned on a little bit more, you just feel good. So when you're doing cardio, you have more energy, more motivated. I mean, it's hard to describe. It's really a very pleasant feeling, but you're sweating profusely. So like I know that it's enhancing thermogenesis, and then that's the base model OS01. Then we created again the max version, which is the one that I've been using. And it has inositol and myo-inositol. And then it's also got some other precursors like NAC, which you guys all know is N-acetylcysteine, which is a powerful antioxidant. And then also has chromium picolinate. Again, just to get a little bit of the carbohydrate burning. I mean, chromium picolinate is like, a 25-year-old supplement for people to use for insulin suppression and blood glucose regulation. So it's just a cofactor nutrient that's put in there. But like I said, I've used this four times and I'm like, my head is spinning. It's like so effective. And again, not in a bad way. It's not amping you. It's not raising your heart rate or doing anything like that. It's just, again, it's working on these unique metabolic pathways. So those are the two newest of the ones that we released last week. And again, those aren't even in the marketplace yet right now. Hopefully by the time this podcast runs, they will be. Are BioFlow and BioAbsorb. Now, BioAbsorb, I think, will probably be very soon our fastest and most popular supplement because it's a combination of metformin and dihydroberberate. And so you have, and it's also very, very low dose. So it's formatted in a way that's not going to, you know, upset people's stomachs. Because as you've both heard from probably many of your patients and people that you've worked with in over the years, you know, they scream about how metformin, you know, makes them feel nasty. They get nauseous or gas or whatever. And it's because they have infected microbiomes, and metformin goes to work at obviously upraising or upregulating Akkermansia mucilis, which is, you know, the very helpful pathogen that improves gut lining function and intestinal flora and fauna and all that stuff. And so normally when people take the drug metformin, whether it's 250, 500 milligrams, even people that take higher dosages, they complain of that effect. Whereas with this, with dihydroberberin and a bunch of B vitamins, because when you take metformin, it has this unique ability, right? I shouldn't say improve, but you hyper excrete folate and methionine and a couple of other, like, just call them spectrum B vitamin nutrients. And so this has all of those plus cofactors in it. So anybody who uses this doesn't have to worry about those issues, because there's a lot of people that have the polymorphism for depleting folate and B6, B3, B9 faster. So by taking this, you don't have to worry about that. Anybody today who has, you know, blood glucose, insulin sensitivity issues, you know, they're insulin resistant, this is an amazing supplement because you can take it throughout the day, right? Like, I imagine, like, you know, call them dumpster fire people who have severe stuff going on in their stomach. They could take literally two of these two or three times a day, and they're going to, you know, suppress blood glucose, suppress their insulin yo-yoing, and at the same time have really good glucose disposal and control. So this is going to be a really powerful supplement. And then the other one, as I was telling you guys off air, is BioFlow. And BioFlow is a combination of tesofensine, magnesium threonate, which I want to talk about for a second. And then we also have taurine. So what happens with people that use tesofensine in isolation is, and again, there's a lot of people like this, they love it. It's increasing BDNF and synaptic activity, but it's over revving their brain so that they lay in bed at night. I've had hundreds of people message me about this, where they're literally staring at the ceiling, thinking about what they got to do the next day and not sleeping, which they should be. And I'm speculating on this, and it's a pet theory, you know, since this drug was in the marketplace now in the last 4 years in the biohacking space. I feel like if you ever used an SSRI or even maybe Adderall or Vyvanse, and you had the brain rewired from those drugs, I feel like tesofensine is doing something to either aggravate that or upregulate that so that you have that, like, increased overexertion energy where you're just laying there and you can't sleep. And I've had a lot of clinicians, a lot of patients, a lot of people message me and saying they're having that. So we designed this supplement specifically to address those issues. And that's what magnesium threonate looks. If you look at magnesium threonate in the patent, in the patents and all the clinical studies, it has an ability to increase neuroplasticity. And then it also has this ability to calm, like, GABA receptors and a bunch of other things it does. And so when you look at that and you combine that with what tesofensine is doing, plus taurine, because again, taurine will calm down chemical messenger signaling when it's overstimulated, right? So it's like one of those cofactor electrolyte, you know, nutrients that really helps to calm people that are kind of nervous and jittery. And again, it's only been in the marketplace for 6 or 7 days. Now, we tested it, of course, for a couple months with different people, but everyone who had issues with tesofensine in isolation who's taken this has said, oh my God, you fixed it. Like, I feel the energy and I feel the focus that I had on tesofensine, but I'm not all, you know, wired up and I can't lay in bed at night and not sleep. I put my head on the pillow and I can go to bed. So I really like this. I think, like I said, this supplement and BioAbsorb are going to be really two big sellers for us. And then I do have a couple of the fat burners, but if you guys want to, like, wait until we get there to talk about them, I've got MetaShred and Shred here, so we can talk about that at some point too.
Yeah, I think that would be good for the GLP-1 resistance or people that don't want to take a GLP-1. So what we were thinking for those listening to the podcast, what we're going to dive into is essentially like different scenarios and combinations or stacks of peptides that we could use for those scenarios. So why not start with, you know, what we see with GLP-1, what you see with GLP-1 resistance? We've talked about it before on the podcast and kind of things that, you know, are typically going on with under eating or gut dysbiosis or underlying issues that are present and kind of not having the right combination of environment and factors alongside the GLP-1 diet, right? And then for those that don't want to do a GLP-1, because I think there are some people that, you know, are nervous about the injection or don't want to go down that rabbit hole, what other options are out there for fat burning, for increasing and improving metabolic function and glucose disposal and insulin function. So can you start with the GLP-1 resistance and kind of what you have seen and what you believe around that?
No, 100%. So I think we talked about this when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. How long ago was it that we did a podcast? Was it a week or 2 weeks? I can't even remember. So fast.
It was a week.
Life is happening so fast. And then I have to say this just because a shout out to my dog. My little rat dog of 16 years died yesterday morning. And yeah, and I mean, he was my shadow and my wife's shadow. And it's, dude, people think I'm like a tough alpha guy. Like I literally was crying today because I picked up his, and I hope I don't get emotional right now, but I picked up his doggy little things, right? Like, cause my wife was like, let's just throw him out. You know, he died yesterday. We took him to cremating him. The vet came and got his body. He died peacefully, but I picked up his thing today and I'm not kidding you. Like his spirit or his energy washed through my body. And I almost like fell down. Like it was the most incredibly intense, like metaphysical experience. And I just started spontaneously crying. And my daughter is here. She's 15. And she was like, Dad, what is the matter? What is going on? And I said, my dog Simba, he just gave me his life force. But I mean, the whole point of why I'm saying all this is that like, don't underestimate the value of life. You know what I mean? Like we are energy beings. And like, as much as I, like that dog was kind of my nuisance, right? Cause he was like the kind of dog that would pitter patter in the morning and he'd be like, you know, feed me. It's like 5 in the morning or 4:45 in the morning. Feed me. It's my vitamin time. You know, there were a lot of like energetic bonds that we, you know, connected to. And now he's not here. And now I'm like missing him and regretting and all that stuff. It's crazy. But to your question about GLPs, most people do this wrong. And what I mean, most people, like they go to their doctor and their doctor doesn't really, you know much about GLPs. They know how to prescribe them. They know how to make money. They know what the pharmaceutical rep tells them how to do all that. And so most of these people, like they start with a too high of a dose, right? And if you're in the allopathic clinical space, it's obviously semaglutide, which is Wegovy, or it's the stage 2, which is, Mounjaro or Zepbound, right? Those are the two trade names that most people know them by. And again, if they're not getting the correct advice, which is again, the correct advice, I think at this point, we all know now is a microdose. Very few people have started out with a microdose. You'd have to be really Johnny come lately on the scene with, you know, GLPs to start with a microdose now, because initially nobody knew that. But so if they started off with like a really high dose and then they were told to double it and then escalate from there, a lot of these people have receptor attenuation, which is again, receptor sensitivity issues immediately, right? In the first month, their body stops responding in the same way that it initially responded. And sometimes they get 2 months out of it or 6 weeks, but you know, the massive appetite suppression, the feeling of nausea, you know, the inability to eat, it goes away. And at some point, the dose titration, no matter how high, doesn't work anymore. And so a lot of these people are now like left holding the bag because they've spent all this money, right? They're taking the super high dose. They're spending all this money on the drug and it doesn't work. And what I mean when I say it doesn't work is it's not suppressing or blunting their appetite anymore. And some of the people, you know, with true resistance also don't get the glucagen increase anymore because their body's receptor sensitivity is just overwhelmed by it. So a lot of these people are really screwed, you know, and they're obviously, again, you know, not to their credit. And again, not to blame the physician or whoever it was that prescribed it for them, but they didn't tell them to change their lifestyle. They didn't tell them to eat insulin controlled. You know, they didn't tell them to start lifting weights and eat enough protein. So they're doing everything wrong. But, you know, as I said on the last time you interviewed me, if you start off with a high dose and you get appetite suppression and you stop eating as much shit that you're normally eating, yes, the weight tends to drop off. And so you think it's working. You know, if you're a guy, your belt size goes down. If you're a woman, you know, you're having to get new dresses or new pants or something, but it's not, you're not doing it right. Right. So like obviously 4 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks later, they have metabolic hell to pay. They've got thyroid damage. They've lost muscle, all the things that we know and we hear in this, in the mainstream about all the side effects happen. So I think personally at that point, there's only a couple of things you can do. Obviously, you have to change the person's lifestyle. So you have to sit down with them and you have to say, look, you got to stop controlling. You have to start controlling your carbohydrate consumption. You have to limit, you know, your processed food intake. You've got to start exercising. I mean, so many of these people don't even exercise. I mean, it's insane, right? Like they're not lifting weights. They're not doing cardio. They're just eating less and they expect that magic bullet of, you know, the appetite suppression to last forever. And when it stops, it's like, well, what do I do? Right. And so, I mean, again, GLP resistance is receptor attenuation, but it's also probably lifestyle. I won't call it disaster, but it's their lifestyle is not where it needs to be. And so they have to literally consider like, okay, if I can't do, you know, 10 milligrams of Mounjaro a week or 15 milligrams of tirzepatide a week, how am I going to change and actually, you know, modify my lifestyle? So again, it's a lifestyle focus first, control insulin, control how much carbohydrate consumption you're having. You know, obviously it's a craze and a fad right now that most people don't understand. But I mean, Nick Norwitz, who's one of the leading metabolic researchers in the world, wrote an article today about fruit fasting. And he's completely reversing his stance because all of these studies are coming out in like cell pathways and cell biology and all of these metabolic newsletters and magazines, and they're obviously extremely elite academic places that are publishing this stuff, but it's like we're learning stuff about glucose metabolism that we never understood previously. And so what we're seeing is whether or not you want to do a fruit fast, as long as you can restrict your protein and increase FGF21, which is again an endocrine hormone that's responsible for increasing metabolic rate, you can get profound fat loss. Now, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, obese and have fatty liver. And again, you call it GLP-1 resistance, if we want to call that. A lot of them are the same way. And they could actually benefit from eating nothing but fruit, you know, for 2 or 3 days in a row. Obviously, it's going to be an automatic caloric deficit because you can't consume that much fruit. It doesn't matter how hungry you are, how obese you are, how inflamed you are. There's just, you can't consume that much fruit every day. So it's automatically inbuilt. But then the FGF21 is increasing metabolic rate. So that's a way to do it. But obviously if we look into supplements, you know, the first thing that I would do with somebody that had it is I would switch the product. Now, again, if you're in the pharmacy / allopathic side of things, you don't have the option to move. Well, not, you do if you want to go against the grain, but you don't really have the option because you've only got stage 1 and stage 2, because retatrutide, which is the stage 3, is not approved, right? But there's tons of people that are using research peptides, like obviously GLP-3, which is again retatrutide, which my company sells. And that's what I would do, right? So if somebody's stuck on a GLP-2, I would put them on a microdose of a GLP-3 along with lifestyle change. And then I would also consider, you know, one of these mitochondrial optimizing peptides or supplements. And I would actually do both, especially depending on how much weight they had to lose and how insulin resistant they were. So if we're going to talk about like peptides, I would put them on like SS31, MOTC, also NAD plus, maybe 5-amino. But those are the 4, you know, major movers. And then I would put them on this or just the base, which is Shred, which is just again, SLUPP-332 versus Metashred with the uncoupler in it. And that's going to also, again, increase mitochondrial firepower, give them more energy to exercise, make them feel better. Cause I think you both know this, like the majority of these people that don't exercise have no energy, right? And it's because they have too much fat, too much inflammation, blah, blah, blah. And so they don't have the mitochondrial firepower that like all of us have that makes us motivated to exercise every day. So if you can get the mitochondria to turn back on with, you know, using some peptides and using some of these type of supplements, you're going to be able to at least get them, at least from like a adherence standpoint, to focus more on exercise when the GLP has essentially abandoned them. So I think in a long-winded type of way, I would say first step is change lifestyle, make them live more insulin controlled. Consider a fruit fast, look into it. There's a lot of science out there now. I'll send you guys the article today from Nick Norwitz. It's amazing. I mean, it's absolutely mind blowing. I mean, it's like we're learning things now about this stuff that's just completely changing nutrition. I mean, it's completely revolutionizing nutrition. And then, you know, get them on a mitochondrial optimizing peptide or two, along with one of these, you know, they're starting to call this like exercise in a pill. And again, what is it doing? It's just turning on their mitochondria so that they can exercise, so that they can actually have the energy to get off their lazy butts and actually go to the gym or actually, you know, engage in some form of aerobic exercise. And again, the heavier a person is, the more lower the impact the exercise, right? The last thing a heavy person with GLP resistance should do is go to a fucking CrossFit facility and get killed. And blow their shoulder up or blow their ankle up or blow their elbow up, right? Because you don't want them doing ballistic movements because they're not capable of doing ballistic movements. But trust me, I see this shit all the time. You know, even at my gym here in Tampa by my house at EOS, you know, I see these really heavy, unconditioned people come into the gym and the freaking trainer there has got them doing burpees or shit that is just like, I mean, I literally sometimes just want to walk up and I want to like put my hands on the shoulders of the person and say, hold on one second. And then look at the trainer and say, you're fired. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's tough because if the people don't understand what they're supposed to do, you know, then they hire a trainer at one of these, you know, box gyms, like where I train out of EOS here in Tampa, like they don't really get good advice. You know what I mean? I mean, I see this all the time. I mean, I know you see it too, like in your necks of the woods, but it's like, it's just people don't know where to get good advice. But if you're heavy and not conditioned, you cannot do ballistic exercise in your 40s and 50s. You're going to literally blow a knee, an ankle, an elbow, an Achilles. It's crazy.
They probably also won't go back because they're going to be so sore for
exactly.
And haven't drank water since last Friday. So that's going to make it 10 times worse. You know what I mean? It's just like,
the person with GLP resistance literally only has to do 2 15-to-20-minute sessions a day walking on an incline. They don't need a treadmill. Find a hill in your neighborhood, walk up, walk down, walk up, walk down, and just do it twice a day until you start, the weight comes off. I mean, nothing is more effective than walking uphill when you're heavy. Because again, you can do it. It's not going to blow your ankle. It's not going to blow your calves. You're at your own pace. I mean, a lot of people like to do it in nature, right? Because you're connected with nature. If you have the money, you know, get a treadmill, you know, put a treadmill in your house and get up in the morning and do it at night. And you don't need a lot of time. You just need the intention to do it.
Absolutely. I remember, so Liz and I both ran gyms in our previous life before getting into the functional world. And I would hesitate. So I ran a CrossFit gym. I competed in CrossFit for many, many years. I blew out my Achilles,
CrossFit, if you know what you're doing, because I know some of the best CrossFitter guys in the world, and they design actually, you know, periodized progressive overload training programs. Those are fine. It's just the garden. You know what I mean, right? It's the garden box places, which are everywhere that destroy people.
Let people lift overhead with a barbell. Like it was people that walked in. I was like, no, you are not snatching with a barbell. Are you kidding? You can't even straighten your arm. Like, and so our owner did it well in terms of he had like different programming for people that would only use dumbbells versus people that felt, you know, able to use barbells because you will hurt yourself. Like,
yes.
You absolutely hurt yourself. And that's why I encourage people to start with machines. Machines are a lot harder to hurt yourself on.
Like, 100%. No.
And then you're, you know, getting muscle stimulus and you're doing something that is, you know, creating some type of a benefit. And I agree with the incline walking. Walking has so much benefit. So I think that is awesome. Perfect explanation for where we can start if you are, you know, GLP-1 resistant. I think that there are deeper things going on that need to be evaluated. We can't lean and rely on that medication. You will adapt to it like everything else. Any other medication, supplementation, whatever, your body will adapt to it. It will happen at some point. And so beyond that, we wanted to dive into some other kind of scenarios. And I know you mentioned one of them being energy. And so I would love to talk on sleep because I think poor sleep is a huge, huge problem for people. A lot of people are addicted to benzos. A lot of people are, you know, relying on high dose sleep medications, or they are waking up multiple times a night and cannot fall back asleep. So I'd love for you to discuss some things. I think that growth hormone is a big problem and what can support deep sleep. Cause I think a lot of people also have aura rings and track their REM and deep sleep.
Yes.
So I'd love for you to chat a little bit on what you find helpful and utilize in sleep.
I love everything you just said, but before we stop on the GLP resistance, it's just what you said really unpacks the need of microdosing. Because if you microdose, and I want to give people like a plan, like a 12-month plan, because I love talking about this. But if you microdose, and again, I know this doesn't apply to so many people because they've been screwed from the beginning. And I will give a people, I'll give a people a plan with LDN, right? So you can use low dose naltrexone over 90 days. And some people probably can get by with 45, but I like doing it 90 because I like people stair stepping because you don't ever want to give somebody 4.5 milligrams of low dose naltrexone right when they start because they'll literally have like psychotic dreams. They'll have like a, they'll have dreams and they'll be like, what did you do to me? Right. Cause again, it's like doing so many things with neurotransmitters, but you could easily do again. It's what is it? It's a 4.5 tab. So whatever a fourth of that is, 1.25. 2 weeks, 1.25, 2 weeks, 1.25, 2 weeks until you're at a full dose and you can reset all your receptors. And so you can go back to being like perfectly virgin to any GLP. But if you start with a microdose, and again, whether it's a GLP-2, GLP-3, because obviously we talked about SEMA being worthless at this point, you know, and I know that some people don't want to hear that because they have a script and they get a copay and it's cheap. But it really just doesn't do anything, right? I mean, again, what is appetite suppression if you're not exercising? What is appetite suppression if you're not doing cardio, blah, blah, blah? So you want a GLP-2, GLP-3, but if you do get a microdose of it, you can literally use it over the course of 12 months. How? This is how. You start with the lowest dose twice a week and you go for literally 4 to 6 weeks of the lowest dose twice a week. Then you double that dose, right? So now you're at like 1/4 of what the normal standard weekly dose is, but you have set your receptors up so that you can actually see more results. And now you've done it, say, for 8 to 12 weeks. Okay. Now what are we doing? We're coming off of it, but we're not coming off of it. And what I mean by that is we're going back to 1/3 of the dose. And instead of doing it twice a week or every other day, some people like to inject themselves every other day. Some people get by with 2 days a week. It doesn't matter. Especially the way the half-lives of the drugs are designed. But now at 1/3, you can literally take one shot every 2 weeks. And so you're keeping the receptors in the brain avoiding the food noise, right? Because that's what most people, if they do it right, and again, I know not most people do it right, but for the people that listen to us and they listen to smart people, the Dr. Tina Moores and people like that out there, they're giving the right advice, Gabriel Lyon, you know, that you can absolutely lose all the weight you need to lose in 3 months. Okay. You can get to a goal weight where you feel comfortable, you look good. And now instead of like getting rid of the drug, you're just using an absolute microscopic dose, like once or twice a month. And honestly, there are people that can do it once a month, but I kind of like every 14 days, a tiny, tiny little dose just to keep your receptors remembering that this is in your system. And also keeping the brain from like being overrun with food noise. And so if you do that plan over a 12-month cycle, you could absolutely stay on a GLP, never overrun your receptors, never have receptor attenuation, never have to like get addicted to a higher titrated dose. And you're playing the what goes up must come down game because you're titrating down like basically every, you know, say 75 to 90 days. And so that's how you do it like over a year. But back to your original question, we're in this weird time right now. Like there's so many things coming into the marketplace. You know, my company isn't helping matters because we're like iterating and we got, you know, one awesome product comes out and then holy shit, here comes another one in a month later. But like you just have to find out what you like doing from an exercise standpoint. And then you have to understand like, how am I going to make this a part of my life? Right. Some people that are like, I can't go to the gym. I don't feel comfortable in a commercial gym. I'm too fat or I don't feel comfortable with my own body. So I can't go to a gym. Okay, that's fine. But you realize the value of exercise and building muscle and doing cardio and stuff. So you got to figure out how you're going to do it in your house. Or maybe you're going to have a professional trainer come to your house. Or maybe you're even going to go to like an individual one-on-one private studio. Whatever it is, you got to figure it out. And then you got to adhere to it. And at this point, now you're going to be talking about like, okay, what are the drugs / peptides that I'm going to use that's going to allow me to have the energy that I want to go to these places? Again, whether it's a commercial gym, whether it's your house, private studio, private trainer, whatever it is. And I think, you know, assuming that you have those things dialed in, I think that your first step is always going to be looking at growth hormone agonist peptides. I think that they're going to provide the most bang for the buck. And We started to talk a little bit about them last time, but the three primary ones, and I should mention growth hormone because I love growth hormone, but the three primary peptides are tesamorelin, ipamorelin, and CJC1. And I think for women, IPA is always going to be best because when it's used in isolation, it has the least amount of side effects. Most people who can take it, it also, again, has this unique quality of never overwhelming the body's, you know, pituitary. So you can't ever really overwhelm your own systems. For virgins to it, you get 10 to 12 weeks before the receptors kind of get tired of it and you got to come off of it. The like Tessa and CJC are stronger. And so, you know, in most people, they can't stay on as long as they can on IPA. So I love IPA as like the base GH agonist peptide for women, especially because again, there's no side effects. They see results pretty fast. They sleep deeper. I remember when my wife first started taking this, you know, when we first got together a long time ago and she just raved about how much better her sleep was. And again, as we talked on the last show, because women are the focusers and the worriers and they, you know, they're thinking about everything. They're so pragmatic. They have everything in their mind. Like they really need better sleep and IPA is going to give them better sleep. Now Tessa and CJC are like the next best things, but they're so strong. They overwhelm the body's pituitary pretty quickly. And so you can only usually get like 6 to 8 weeks. At least I find in my experience with most people, even virgins. Again, and what I mean by that is so that, you know, for the people listening to this is that at a certain point, the body develops what is called receptor attenuation, or again, receptor insensitivity to the peptide. And that usually is met with what is called water retention or resistance. And most people see the resistance as water retention. And as soon as you start retaining water, you know, right? A woman knows, even men who are relatively lean can start sensing that they're holding water under their skin, especially like around the belly area. So that's when you know you got to come off of it. But those would be the three primary ones. CJC is my least favorite because most people, when they inject it, can get a flushing or they can get just kind of like a red, not really an irritation. And it's really not a nausea, but it just feels like if you ever had a niacin flush when you take that supplement, that's what it seems like. And so a lot of people get that. But those are the three primary ones. Obviously, from there, we would dive deeper with mitochondrial peptides, which we kind of talked about. If you guys want to go there, we can go there too.
Yeah. So the sleep and the growth hormone, can you explain a little bit around why that helped?
So I apologize because you asked about that. So the most important thing about sleep, is going to bed with a clear head. And I say this a lot of times, like, you know, no woo woo in this. Like when you go to bed, if you have trouble sleeping, do not, under any circumstances, not like get a pad and paper or a journal or whatever you want to do and like just write out everything that was shitty or good that day and literally then say to yourself, like, I'm forgetting this. Like I've had people like, you know, I tell people this, like you can even write it on a piece of paper and crumple it and throw it like in the garbage before you go to bed, before you get in your bed. But there's got to be some way that everybody has like a sleep hygiene program where they clear their mind. And not enough people do this. You know, you were talking about like, you know, why do we have poor sleep? I mean, we have, you know, addiction to screens. We have people plugging their phone in next to their, you know, head at night. I mean, they've got all these Wi-Fi. I mean, there's so much, but it's like the first step is clearing the mind, writing it down. I'm done. Tomorrow's a new day. The sun rises again, whatever. And then the next thing is blacking out, right? You got to black out your room. You have to be sleeping in a very dark room, right? So those are the first two things. You can now look at like peptides. There's, you know, DSIP, which is, you know, a pretty strong peptide to improve polyphasic sleep, which again gets you into deeper phases of sleep. There's some people that don't respond at all to that peptide. It's really a weird peptide in that regard for that standpoint. But again, growth hormone agonist peptides, if you have those, both Tessa, both IPA, and even CJC right before bed will help with deep phase, again, polyphasic and restorative sleep. I mean, getting into REM sleep. But again, you know, outside of drugs, outside of peptides, cleanse your mind of what it is that you're stressed out that day. I was thinking about what you said. Most people, I think today, who can't sleep smoke weed. You know, or they do THC, or they take, you know, other things and they get so like used to the feeling of whatever it is, numb or baked or whatever, wore out that they can sleep on that. But that's not helping. Like that actually makes things a lot worse. Like I don't want to get into the molecular issues of that stuff, but that's not really helping people to do that. So again, black out your room, clear your mind. I mean, obviously meditation, introspection, all that stuff. I know that's sometimes hard for most people, but like if you can just clear your mind before you go to bed at night, and I've been doing that literally for now 15 years. Like that's what I do, you know, like last night it was brutal for me because I was like, my dog died. And it was like, you know, my daughters were devastated. My wife's not here, you know, so we had like a come to Jesus session last night, you know, remembering him and stuff like that, you know, and we have our other dog in our house, our pit bull. And by the way, our pit bull is, dude, he is like a lost puppy because the little dog bossed him around. So he doesn't even know what's going on now because he has nobody pushing him around. But, you know, we all came together before we went to bed last night and we talked about Simba. That's what his name was. And we talked about like, you know, the memories and all that stuff, but that kind of stuff is huge for people. If you go to bed at night and you clear your mind of everything that happened during the course of the day, good or bad, it doesn't matter, and say tomorrow's a new day, you know, I'm putting this out of my mind. It's not going to be there. As long as you start doing it regularly, you will literally sleep better and you will change your brainwave patterning so that you're not thinking about all the bullshit that happened to you during the course of the day. And I just think that so many people are so preoccupied. I remember in my life that I used to be like that. You know, I'd be literally laying there thinking about who I had to meet with the next day or what bill I had to pay or whatever whatever nonsense it was. And it's like, you have to get to a place where like, you know that the next day is coming and it has no bearing on the previous day. And so many people think about that. But again, growth hormone agonist peptides, DSIP, high dose melatonin is really, really good for a lot of people. You can go to bulksupplements.com and you can get super high dose melatonin. There's other peptides, you know, that you could take, but I think those are probably, you know, DSIP, a growth hormone agonist peptide, and high dose melatonin is going to be better than anything else.
So let's give the scenario of the person is doing a lot of what you just mentioned. Maybe they are relying on CBD or antihistamine, you know, blockers, stuff like that. Where would you have them start? So they've done the, well, I call it brain dump at the end of the day. Do your brain dump, yep. Get your brain dark, shut down your screens, blue light blockers, all the things. And they're falling asleep because they've used these sedatives essentially, right?
Yeah.
But then they're waking up and then they're waking up and unable to go back to sleep in that situation. Cause I agree with you. I've used DSIP on a few and it worked amazing when it works. But honestly, 2/3 of the time, it doesn't do anything. So where would you have that individual start? Would you go to an ipamorelin and then kind of wean them, you know, off of the other things, or how would you address
it? It's a great question. A lot of people that wake up, they have electrolyte imbalances. So a lot of these people have massive magnesium and taurine deficiencies. So that's where I would look first. I mean, again, assuming everything else is done, the sleep hygiene, the brain dump, all that, like look into, you know, are you dehydrated? Like people who are chronically dehydrated are always waking up. And this is a large portion of society. I mean, look, we live in, as we said on the last show, we live in a very depleted environment where we live in, especially in the major cities and the large urban areas, and your body is under chemical assault at all times. So if you're not getting enough, I mean, you see me, I mean, I'm constantly drinking electrolytes. If you're not hydrated, you're not getting enough magnesium, you're not getting enough taurine. Again, all the, you know, even salt, you know, sodium ion transport channel stuff, that is going to make your brain like misfire. And so getting into like deep sleep is really, really difficult. So like, that's what I would look at first is I would like, am I dehydrated? You know, there are a bunch of companies out there now that test for like micronutrient deficiencies and stuff like that. I mean, I don't want people to like focus on that. You know, another thing you can do who does a really great job of this is Dr. Anthony Jay will do a DNA evaluation for you for like $350 or $400. And he can look at your, you know, you got to get your Ancestry.me or I think 23andMe just went down, didn't they? You got to get your DNA measured and analyzed, but you can send it to him and he can kind of tell you, you know, if you have polymorphisms, if you have a genetic proclivity to this, that, and the other, and that can also help you. I see a lot of people that, again, are like hyper excreters. They have magnesium and what do you call it? Calcium ion issues. But most people that wake up are usually dehydrated or deficient in electrolytes and micronutrients. So that's something to look at first. But yeah, there's no question that like growth hormone, a growth hormone agonist peptide injected right before bed after you get to have your, all your sleep hygiene carrying out is going to be really good. And again, I see most people can handle high dose melatonin. That can be somewhere between, you got to start with like 60 to 100 milligrams and just assess your tolerance to it. There are some people out there, I'm one of them, that like the higher the dose, the more it stimulates you. Now, like we're kind of like the inverse of people out there, but there's actually a very good percentage of people. I think it's probably somewhere like 10 to 15% of people that if you give them high dose melatonin, you actually stimulate them to get into REM so fast that they become wired. So like I learned that over the years because I was experimenting with high dose melatonin. But for most people, again, DSIP, a growth hormone agonist peptide, all the sleep hygiene, and then first investigate whether or not you have a dehydration and micronutrient deficiency, which is, again, most people are dehydrated and have micronutrient deficiencies. And it's whether it's just their diet sucks or it's just they live in a very contaminated world. Their job exposes them to things that do that. But I just know so many people that don't drink enough water and don't get enough electrolytes. And that's the issue. You know, they're waking up because their brain is like going.
Yeah. I had a conversation with a lady last Saturday. I did like a talk at a gym and she came up to me and she was like, I really struggle with lymphedema and swelling. And I was like, well, how is hydration? She was like, I don't drink water.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's my you dad.
The water. And she was like, it's so hard. I'm like, it's literally your problem. Like it's basically free to do. So yes, we also are in that boat of like most people are chronically dehydrated and yes. It could resolve yes. a majority of your symptoms if you just drank more water with electrolytes throughout the day.
It's a weird thing for guys because I always have this conversation with them and smart guys come back with this and it's legit is they're like, yeah, but if I drink more water, I have to wake up to piss more at night because of the prostate thing, right? And that is 100% true. And I'll just share with you guys like my personal story. I've had a prostate issue since I was 29 or 28, and it was always my PSA is super low. If they do, a test or anything like that, it's not oversized or anything like that. Since I started experimenting with the fruit fasting, I hate calling it sugar fasting because people get blown up, but it's fruit fasting, eating fructose. I'm peeing once a night. It's the most god awful. I mean, God amazingly thing. Cause now I'm like, oh, I don't have a prostate problem. I've never had a prostate problem, but I drink too much water. Right. So it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because if you are consuming so much water / electrolytes or whatever, yeah, your body is in a better position physiologically, but you also have to go to the bathroom more often. So I think some people stop drinking water at a specific time earlier in the evening than they should, because in the back of their mind, they're like, I don't want to wake up to piss because it's going to disturb my sleep. And so you're kind of, it really is one of those things. You're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, I know this, most people in their 50s, men and women, have to wake up at least once in the night to piss, right? If you can sleep the entire night, 50 or an older, count yourself blessed and count yourself lucky because you're definitely the outlier. But most men, myself included, if I'm super hydrated and I've drank water and electrolytes all the way up until like 9:30, an hour before I go to bed, I'm definitely waking up twice to piss. Like I'm grateful if I sleep 4 hours soundly and then wake up and then, it's like, okay, I know it's time to wake up because I got to go to the bathroom again, and I probably sleep on a really good night, 7 hours and 35 minutes. And on an average night, I probably sleep 6 hours and 20. So it's like a difference from like an hour. And I think you both know this. The amount of sleep is meaningless. It's the quality of the sleep that matters. So as long as you can get 4 hours or somewhere in that range of 3 to 4 hours of actual REM, again, polyphasic stage 4 sleep, you're fine. Most people, like what you're talking about, who wake up don't get that. And so if you're constantly being waken up out of the sleep-wake cycle, you're fucked. Unfortunately, that's not going to be good.
Yeah. So kind of piggybacking off of this, we'll take hydration off the table as a reason for why people are tired during the day, because we've already talked about that. That's another reason that you're tired is you're chronic dehydrated.
Yep.
But for people that are exhausted, maybe they do sleep, and obviously they might not be sleeping well, which you can... Yep. Back to what we just talked about, yep. But a lot of times we're looking at mitochondrial dysfunction. We're looking
totally
to create energy within the cell. So where would you start with low energy throughout the day and, the brain fog and not being able to focus? And
yeah. MOTC is the number one peptide for that. Because again, it just like for fat, again, I hate to say it, but fat, insulin resistant, metabolically deranged people. I love that word, metabolically deranged. You have no mitochondrial function at all. You're turned off. So when you give someone a pretty sizable bolus of, let's say, MOTSI, and again, a sizable bolus is, there's so many dosing strategies with MOTSI, right? The average vial of MOTSI is 10 milligrams. I've heard people say do 5 milligrams a day, you know, for 2 weeks straight if you're completely deranged. I'm a start low, go slow guy in everything that I do. So I would recommend that somebody was doing like 1.5 to 2 milligrams a day of MOTSI and assess how you feel, right? 1.5 to 2 milligrams a day in a metabolically deranged person should, again, not everyone, but should energize them enough to train, to exercise, to feel better. The other thing I would just mention without forgetting is naps. You know, taking a 5 to 10 minute nap, you know, in a day when you're chronically sleep deprived or chronically underslept because you're waking up all the time, it can only hurt you. You just have to really get into, can help you. You got to get into a rhythm of not oversleeping, right? Because the difference between like a 5 minute nap and a 15 minute nap can really wipe a person out. So you got to just be really cautious. And again, the only way you're going to figure that out is by practicing, you know, have an alarm, you know, set something and say, I'm going to sleep for 7 minutes or I'm going to sleep 8 minutes or whatever. If you get into that practice of like saying, I'm going to sleep, and again, emptying your mind, if you do it every night, you can absolutely train your mind to just take a nap. Like you can literally sit there and say, okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. And then just literally close your eyes and say, I'm going to sleep. And whatever you say, count to 10, whatever, you know, backwards, you can do all these things. You just have to learn how to do them. But that's something that I don't think enough people practice. But for sure, from turning on the mitochondria, you know, getting them to feel better, it's going to be MOTSI is number one. I think number two is probably SS31. NAD plus is right there with it. You know, I think I was telling you that we're going to create or are in the process of doing it now, a blend of NAD plus, MOTSI, and 5-amino injectable all together. And we've already experimented with it. And that's like, you use that and you will turn anybody's mitochondria on and make them feel better. I mean, that's like literally in 10 minutes, they feel better. That's just like a giant electrical, a photovoltaic charge through the body.
All right. If you're dealing with water retention, you're waking up puffy, your ankles or your wrists are really swollen, or you can't get your rings off, and maybe you're even dragging throughout the day, no matter how much water you drink, there's actually a good chance that you're not actually hydrating properly.
Exactly. Because water alone is not enough. You need electrolytes. You need sodium, potassium, magnesium, because those things actually pull water into your cells. Otherwise, you're basically just flushing it out and wondering why you're still tired, you're still bloated, and you're still sluggish.
But here's the thing. Most electrolyte supplements out there aren't helping you in any way, because a lot of them contain things like natural flavors, food dyes, and maltodextrin, which can irritate your gut. And these things can also spike your blood sugar when you're trying to heal.
That's why we both started using Bui. It's super simple, just trace minerals and electrolytes in liquid form. No flavors, no colors, no sugar, no sweeteners, and you squeeze it into whatever you are drinking. Water, coffee, tea, smoothies, you name it.
And it's clinically backed by science too. So studies have shown that Bui helps you hydrate better, 64% better in fact, and that's data coming from key blood and urinary markers, not just marketing fluff. And honestly, you can feel the difference. I've had many clients tell me their digestion's improved, they have less headaches, and they're better energy throughout the day.
And Bui isn't just for people that go to the gym all the time and sweat a bunch. They actually offer a 35% lifetime discount for anyone that's struggling with chronic illnesses. Things like POTS, Hashimoto's, Crohn's disease, chronic migraines, and every autoimmune condition. They're really committed to making better hydration accessible to people who need it most.
I actually throw it in my coffee every morning because it's such an easy upgrade. You don't even taste it, but you're definitely going to notice if you miss it.
If you're tired of playing hydration roulette and want something that actually supports your body, you've got to try Bui. It's honestly one of the simplest ways to feel better faster.
To turn on the mitochondria. But I mean, I think those are your prime movers. I think it's going to be MOTSI, SS31, NAD+. If you can get in 5-amino injectable, a lot of people don't carry that. We do carry that. It doesn't last when it comes in because it's so effective. But those are your four biggest movers and shakers from a standpoint of like really turning on the mitochondria.
Awesome. So before we move on to other things, I wanted to just ask, because this is a hot topic right now, NAD plus nasal versus injectable. What would be your pick? I've said many times to the person, and love to hear your input here. We know injectable can be, you know, more systemic, but what are you going to be compliant with? And a nasal spray, if you're using it like midday, focus, energy, whatever, it's with you. Like, you don't have to worry about an insulin needle. So I just love your quick thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it really comes down to the person. Like the least mitochondrial optimized a person is, the more they're going to feel nasal and injection equally. Whereas a person who's super mitochondrial optimized, like people like us, are not going to feel an intranasal like we're going to feel injection. And again, it's because our mitochondria are already somewhat optimized, if not all the way fully optimized. And again, I always say this, like injection is always going to be the highest impact because again, it crosses the blood brain barrier faster, gets into portal circulation faster. But I know a ton of people that like intranasal NAD. I know a ton of, you know, people that use the patches and wear the patches. You know, my wife and I didn't tell you guys this. I just talked to somebody about this on a podcast, but my wife and I gave the patches 2 months, felt nothing. You know, the guys that own Push Patch, you know, those are my friends. And they sent them to us like 2 years ago before they launched the company and said, hey, tell us what you think. And I did everything in my power to like say, they work. I love them, you know, but we just never felt it. And my wife actually did it an entire 2 months. I just gave up in like 4 weeks. I'm like, fuck this. I'm not going to keep putting these on. I feel nothing. And I did a test. I did the test with Dr. Shi. You guys know Dr. Shi, who sells the NAD Plus supplement. He's like the world's leading NAD expert. And you know, him and I did a podcast together. This is like going back 3 years ago. And I told him the same thing. I said, you know what? I don't feel shit with NAD. No matter what I do, injection, push patch, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, Jay, he's like, let me test you, you know? And he's got, it's like a $4,000 test, right? So it's like, you know, he's like, oh, you know, we'll do it for you. And then you can publish the results and all that and stuff. And so anyway, I did it and I tested out like according to him, the highest he had ever saw a person naturally test on his test on NAD Plus. And he's like, well, now I know why you don't feel it. You're one of those guys that just has maximum, you know, NAD Plus. And so I'd always theorized that I'm just so optimized in all the things I do in my life that I just never felt NAD because of that reason. And then of course the test, you know, bore that out. But most people are going to probably feel a patch, an intranasal or an injection equally well if they don't have optimized mitochondria. It's the people that are more mitochondrial optimized that don't feel it as much, or I would say as noticeably. And in those people, I would say injection is probably going to be the biggest needle mover for them, a standpoint of actually feeling it. And again, knowing what we know about that blend that we just recently created with, that we've got a bunch of people experimenting with it, almost everyone raves about that. They're all like, damn, like I felt instant energy, you know, and that's, we got super optimized, healthy, fit biohacker people with just, you know, average, you know, garden variety, you know, housewives and men who are unconditioned using it. And everyone said the same thing.
Yeah. So let's dive into, I know we talked about like cellulite, but let's group, because I think that you could probably use some similar things for this. Cellulite is, there's some fat component, some inflammatory component to it. There's some hormone imbalance
component. There's a genetic component to it too, sadly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So sad.
I know. So like we talked about the cream. We talked about the cream offline. So let's talk about that. But then let's kind of phase into hair loss.
Okay.
Because hair loss, big one. And I actually heard you on another podcast and I dug into it deeper and deeper because I think there's a lot of factors to hair loss. But at the root of all of it is blood flow.
It's all blood flow. It's all blood flow. So it's awesome that you're asking me that because as you guys probably have seen, I have not grown my hair back in like a year and a half. And my wife likes me with like not complete chrome dome, but just basically like the old school George Clooney look. And so I'm growing my hair back because we are coming out with a revolutionary hair regrowth product that will be the best ever designed because I'm personally designing it. I've been in the space for so long. You know, we had a hair product that we were the first company, my old company that I sold in 2022 called Aseer Custom, A-S-E-I-R, which still exists. I have no idea what scammers are behind that company now, but we have nothing to do with it. But we sold the company for a good bit of money because we had a patent for our hair product and our facial rejuvenation. And again, there's no secret to what we were doing. We were using GHKCU before anybody else did. And we had the highest grade of it. You know, and my business partner, shout out to Nick Andrews. He's my friend. We're not business partners anymore, but, you know, he's a genius biochemical formulator and he knew back in 2017 that we could create hair products with GHKCU and regrow people's hair. And again, most of the people watching this in your audience that you guys have worked with, women and men, they know that GHKCU is an amazing peptide for angiogenesis. It, you know, eliminates fine lines and wrinkles. It restores elasticity in the skin. It does a lot of things. We call it the ShamWow peptide. But there's now a lot more things that have come into the marketplace that we can use in combination with GHKCU that will regrow hair. And my guess is that this product, we don't even name for it yet, but it literally has 11 active ingredients. So it's going to be expensive. I mean, I'm telling people the truth. I'm like, you don't design, you know, a revolutionary regrowth hair product and not think it's going to be cheap, right? Like, this is not some...
What's the cost of going to get a hair transplant?
Oh, well, that's what I was just about to tell you. So, I mean, like, we factor that in, right? So, like, right now, if you go to Turkey and you get, like, top of the line, you're paying anywhere from $3,500 to $8,000, right? And by the way, that's half the price of what it was 3 years ago, right? So the technology is improving. The graft technology and the way they do it is improving. But it's still painful and you got to fly to Turkey and blah, 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 right? And by the way, people with grafts, they lose their hair. So it's not like it's permanent, right? Like you still shed, you still have the genetic component of androgenic alopecia. If you have that, you're still going to lose hair. So this product that I'm designing, I should say my company's designing it, I'm individually designing it, and I have one other person helping me, will be used by men and women to prevent hair loss as they age, which would be, you know, premature thinning and hormonal hair loss. Most women lose hair because of hormones, right? The hormones go haywire. They take 25 milligrams a week of tirzepatide for 6 weeks and shut off, like, you know, all the issues with like blood flow. I mean, it's God. I mean, I've heard so many stories, but basically this product will regrow hair, and it will also shut down, I would say, hormonal dysregulation hair loss. Now, I don't know if it's going to shut it down, but it'll dramatically lessen it. I hope that it's, you know, again, today is July 22nd for the purposes of this podcast. I know it'll publish later, but, my hope is that it'll be in the hands of the marketplace by mid-October. In a worst case scenario, it'll be in the marketplace by Black Friday, you know, if we have delays. But it's going to be, like you just said, it's going to cost somewhere between $799 and $999. And it'll last, depending on the length of your hair, anywhere from 30 to 90 days, right? So like if you're a woman and you've just got shedding, you know, you're going to get, you probably can look at it as costing $250 to $300 a month. And what woman is not going to pay that to block their hair, right? I mean, give me a break, right? And if you're a guy and you're like me and you have active follicles, but your hair's thin, you barely have any, you probably can get 6 months out of one bottle, right? Because you don't need much. Less is more in hair regrowth, right? Like a lot of people will overwhelm their receptors and keep putting, saturating their scalp with it. And it's like, dude, you don't need to do that. And we learned lesson in our first product because we would get complaints from women who would be like, it greases up my pillows because we had a mild grapeseed oil extract of carbon 60 along with GHKCU and some other active, not actives, but stabilizing stuff in it. And so we learned a hard lesson about that. You can't put any oil in a hair regrowth product because you will literally damage people's, like, you know, sleep stuff. So hair regrowth is almost a conquered space from a standpoint of we're this close, and it's not just me and my company, of course. Hopefully we'll be one of the first, if not the first, but we're this close to conquering hair loss. And as you said, we now know that all hair loss is caused by blood flow restriction. The problem is there's more than, you know, somebody estimated this, like 9,000 causes for blood flow restriction to the scalp. I mean, it can be heavy metal. It can literally just be sun exposure. You know, if you stand outside and you're a hard hat construction guy, you know, and you're getting exposure of the sun to your scalp, I mean, that's causing all sorts of like micro pollutants and stuff to get into your scalp, you know, draining blood flow, cutting off circulation. I mean, there's so many things. I've had people ask me on podcasts this before, and I'll just say it because it's true. If you hung upside down like a bat for an hour a day, you would definitely regrow your hair faster, and you would definitely not have as much hair loss if you do. And there are people that have heard me say that, you know, for years, and they're doing it. You know, like I've literally had like very wealthy Wall Street guys, you know, in New York message me and said, you know, I heard you say it. And I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to spend three grand and get a traction device. And then they come back to me 4 months later and they're like, they send me pictures of their hair, like before and after. They're like, holy shit, bro. You know, so I mean, like, but I mean, you think about it and it's like, yeah, you're pushing blood to the scalp by hanging in traction for an hour a day. And there's a lot of guys out there. I think you gals know this, that like their hair is everything. Like if they don't have hair, they'll kill themselves. I mean, it's like, you know, they're depressed. They can't go through society. You know, there's been interviews about that kind of stuff. Like they've done questionnaires and testimonials with men. What's more important, you know, your hair or your bank account? And they'll be like, my bank account. And some people will be like, my hair, you know, so it's a really weird thing with dudes and their hair, but, we're this close to revolutionizing it. And, you know, I could mention some of the other peptides, but I don't think it's worth it because, they don't really have a lot of science, you know, you can't go and research them, but in our product, there was 9 actives. There might end up being 8. There might end up being 10 because of stabilizer stuff. 5 of them are bioregulators. And when they're combined, they just improve like follicular root health. So like the roots of the follicles, it just improves the health. And you'll probably have like 4, somewhere between 3 and 5 actives that are actually focused on regrowing it. Now this same product then will be adapted for face. So you'll be able to actually create like a cream and a serum from this active that women can use on their face, and men could too, but I mean, more women will use it. And I will definitely say it'll be stronger than Botox without a doubt, without a doubt. Now, I don't know how it'll translate to effects versus Botox, but like over time, it's going to be like a game changer. But the hair growth product will probably be twice the cost versus the skin or the serum. And I don't think the active the grade of the actives in the hair will be stronger than the grade of the face. And that's just because, again, we got to stimulate more blood flow to the scalp than we do to the face.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because I know right now I have been using the Wizard Sciences serum. And
it's a great product. I love that guy.
Yep. It's been working really well. And I know part of their protocol is red light therapy.
Ian Mitchell, right? That's him. Ian Mitchell, Wizard Sciences. I think it's Ian Mitchell, right? Ian Mitchell. What is his name?
Yeah. Alex, the one that told me about it.
Yeah, it's Ian Mitchell.
Yeah. So the derma rolling and the red light therapy, is that something that you would also be recommending, like with your serum when that comes out, for people who don't want to hang upside down?
1,000%. So I'll send this to you because it's so old, but I still have it in my Dropbox folder from the old company. I have like the J. Campbell hair regrowth stack. And this is like, in addition to the product, what do you do? But that's number one. You definitely want to get now here's the thing. I think we talked about this, and if we didn't, I apologize. Most red light is bullshit. So you got to get medical grade red light to the scalp, right? And there are companies out there. There's that one company that makes the hair thing, or it's like a hat, and it's like $4,000 or whatever. That's legit as fuck. But a lot of these red light companies, you know, the $50 to $60 Amazon, they're not doing anything. So make sure that the red light that you're getting is a legitimate medical grade, you know, energy signature, also has near infrared. And then yes, I mean, derma rolling, I mean, any kind of abrasion where you're breaking, I mean, honestly, if you're slightly breaking and damaging the top of the dermis, you know, in the scalp, you're going to get much more active ingredient absorption. And you're also going to stimulate blood flow. It's the same thing. So you should wear the hat at night, by the way. You should wear the red light hat at night. Get one of those chin straps, you know, if you're serious about it, and wear that so that if you roll around and you move around, it's not going to fall off. But there's, I mean, yeah, Alex is right. I mean, there's no doubt, you know, that that's helping. And by the way, Alex has helped design the hair product with me.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Alex has got a great head of hair.
He doesn't need anything. He's young.
He's only 30, right? 30 or 31, right? He's such a kid.
Has turned 32. If
yeah,
I'm 32. Not.
Yeah, him and Hunter are the same age, which is crazy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there were other.
I wanted to talk through ADHD, if we.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So for individuals, I personally, and I don't want to be offensive to anyone out there, I personally think that people are labeling themselves with ADHD that don't have ADHD,
right?
But then obviously pills pay the bills, so people just keep passing out prescriptions. And then long term, to get off of a medication like that is very difficult to do. So let's just talk general focus first. And then if, you know, you are somebody on an ADHD medication, would like to come off of it, you're weaning off of it, what are some of the things that you found most helpful?
Well, first off, one of my mentors this is going way back. You know, you got ADHD, you got ADD, you got all these variances. Like, my mentor said that if you did not naturally develop one of those two, you would never be successful in life, because we are bombarded by information from so many different angles and frequencies that if you don't develop like a natural way to process what's important, what isn't. I mean, this guy used to be like, he used to tell me, he'd be like, the way you need to look at life is like tugboat, 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 barge. And when the barge came, you needed to, like, you know, activate the brain, like, full on, right, to handle the barge. Because if you didn't handle the barge, you were going to die, right? So, like, he would always, like, explain to me that that's kind of the way the brain processes. And that was 20-plus years ago. I mean, look at today now. Think of our kids. I mean, think of how many information signals are coming in at all frequencies, at all bands on the spectrum. It's insane. Like, you have to be almost a genius to be able to handle the information overwhelm. And obviously, I think we talked about this on the last podcast, most people aren't. And so what's happening is most people are just dumbing down. I mean, we are dumbing down our society now at a rate that cannot be comprehended. I mean, most people don't even use their brain to respond. They use AI. They're turning off their brains, right? So to back to the question, like, it's okay to be ADD or ADHD, right? Like, if you understand, like, how important it probably is to, again, focus on what's important and not to be able to, or I should say, be able to filter out what isn't, that's actually so much more important. But you're also 100% right. They're all looking to write a script for a pill. Right. So they want to give you a diagnosis. Again, we were talking on the last one about, like, women can get 10 different autoimmune diagnoses from 10 different doctors. Oh, that's not it. You have Epstein-Barr. I mean, I've heard so many, right? So back to your question, like, most important thing is to understand that it's okay if you have ADHD or ADD. It's not a death sentence. It's not like you're stupid or slow or anything like that. It's just a natural way of living in today's modernized, technologically overstimulated society. So knowing that, like, what can you do to work on improving memory, to work on focusing on what's not, I think it's the ability to process what's not important, right? Because you think about kids today, you know, I think of my daughters and I think of them doom scrolling, right? Like, that statement, doom scrolling, is something that's, like, new to the zeitgeist, right? Like, nobody knew what Zoom scrolling was 3 years ago. And now all the kids talk about it, right? So, like, how do you prevent yourself from being caught in those, like, hypnotic social media induced loops where your brain is not focused on what matters, you know, versus whatever it is that you're doing in the course of the day? Because I think all three of us know that we can get caught in those things at any second, right? Like, you can literally go on Instagram or X. I told you, they deleted me on TikTok, so I can't go on TikTok. But I go on X and I go on Instagram, and it's normally for business. Somebody asked me and I'll be like, oh, I remember this, and I'm going to send this link or whatever. And if you're not, like, really intentional about why you're going on there, 20 minutes can go by and you're like, what the fuck did I go on this for? Right? Sure. No, I mean, you know that they're doing this. They're hijacking our feedback loops, our neural feedback loops, to sell us and to send us information relevant to our searches, right? Like, it's all behavioral targeting. It's such a scam. I mean, so you got to really be cognizant of that. And again, like I said, very intentional. But you just have to really be able to, like, what is important? What am I going for? What am I looking at? Why am I doing this? Like, are you asking these questions? Because if you're not, you will literally be caught up in mindless scrolling and doom scrolling. And again, going back to your question, like, I think the best way to fix any of that, because it's not really something that needs to be fixed, it's just improving focus, is eliminating things that are distractions. Like, almost every smart person that I know today does not have social media on their phones, right? Because, I mean, for some of us, you probably have to because you're answering questions or you've got people buying things, like, from BioLongevity Labs. But, like, you know, Hunter and I have been doing an experiment. We took off Instagram and X from our phones. So it's like, we only know if you're on, if you're messaging us on social media, if we're in front of our desktop. So it's like, we now have boundaries, right? Like before 8 a.m., nobody can get a hold of me on social media because I ain't fucking on it. Same thing after 8 o'clock at night, right? Like I am not on my computer after 8 o'clock at night. So if you message me on social media, dude, you ain't getting a response. It's as simple as that. You know, not going to happen. Now, every now and then my wife will be like, hey, so-and-so is messaging both of us on Instagram. And I'll know, right? But like, these are just things I think that all of us as responsible adults have to set up, you know, maybe call them guardrails. But if you want me to give you some like stuff for these things, you know, from a peptide standpoint, we sell a product right now. And again, this sounds like a shameless plug, but it's called BioMind. And I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's brand new product. It's not brand new. It's 2 months in the marketplace. But it is without a doubt the strongest over-the-counter nootropic product on the marketplace. It does not stimulate heart rate, does not raise beta-adrenergic signaling pathways. It's perfectly safe. It's J147. By the way, Alex designed this product. It's J147. It's NuPEP, which is the strongest racetam. And then it's Dihexa. Now, I've been very notoriously talking about Dihexa for like 8 years. Since I really started talking about peptides in the marketplace, and I said, it's the only nootropic peptide that I actually feel something with. And because I've always been that guy that's, I've compared nootropic peptides to modafinil. Because I've always thought modafinil was like the strongest focus agent that we knew of, right? Like 100 milligrams of modafinil compared to like a nootropic peptide. This was always my qualification score. And I'd always say like, if I can't feel half of what I feel at 100 milligrams of modafinil, I just write it off. And so 40 milligrams of Dihexa would always be the peptide amount, whether it was injected or it was oral, that I would be like, I feel this. And so when Alex told us about this product and what was in it and the three products, you know, the three primary ingredients, I was like, oh, I'm in. Because Dihexa does stuff for me. And so again, since we started selling this product, very, very, I won't mention them because I don't want to burn them, but very famous A-list people have gotten back to me and they're like, dude, this is the greatest thing that I've ever taken in my life. I stopped taking Adderall. I'm using this product. I'm taking two capsules of this product every other day and I don't need to use Adderall anymore. Lots of people. I think I can say this because she's okay, because I asked her for permission, but Teresa Lolly of the Lollies, of the Biohack Yourself people, like that she is using it daily. She messaged me yesterday and she's like, I'm afraid I'm going to get addicted to this. Like, how can I, titrate down and whatever. I was like, look, you're good. As long as you're just using one capsule a day, you should be fine. It's not going to overwhelm your receptors. But so anyway, that is a really amazing product that I think that most people, if they do have issues, neurotransmitter issues, they're hooked on Adderall. They're hooked on like something to take to be focused. I know people, are on Vyvanse and stuff like that. Like, this is what I would look at, because we've got thousands of people who have told us, again, in testimonials, that they stopped, whatever it is, their speed, whatever it is they're taking to up themselves and to be wired and to be focused, to use that product. But I mean, again, I just think that it's probably a better battle today to become more cognizant of what is a trap for you, what is taking your focus away that's important. And I think the biggest boundary that we can create is to take stuff off of our phones, to literally remove the barriers of entry or remove the obstacles that can distract us. And I think that's what most people should do. And honestly, I did that, I think it was when I came back, it was in end of May. And so now it's been almost 2 full months that I've had nothing on my phone from a social media standpoint. And my God, my days are so much more productive.
I would bet it would increase your productivity a lot too.
It dramatically does, because you can't go anywhere when you're distracted or when you like have a daydreaming moment. You know, most people go to X or they go to Instagram, but I don't do that anymore. I'll just check an email on my desktop.
Being creative. I think that's another big one, because a lot of times you just see
actually write something. Yeah. Create something.
Exactly. I did I don't know. It's been a few months, probably even more so since Ethan was born. I don't really look at much on social media unless I'm searching for something. It's usually just for work, but I know that sometimes in the past when I would go on, you're there and trying to get like creative ideas. And then all of a sudden you're just in that trap of scrolling. I don't know what the hell I looked at for the past 30 minutes. And same thing with Amazon, to be honest with you.
Mind blowing. It's literally mind blowing. Oh, I removed Amazon off of my phone 3 years ago. That's an absolute death trap. But see, most people don't have these type of like, they don't have mentorship about this kind of stuff. And it just becomes a crutch. You know, I mean, think about how many people literally are on Amazon hours a day searching for mindless things that they don't need just because it takes their mind off of whatever is boring them.
Yeah. Well, you can come to the state of Illinois and now we have an extra tax for every package that gets delivered. So that's motivating to
I'm
not.
I'm surprised that Gavin Newsom in California hasn't done that yet to the people there. I mean, he makes them pay for the taxes of their gas. I mean, it's literally hilarious. Ever since I moved to Florida and I left California, that is a mind-blowing thing when you realize that you're paying $3 more a gallon of gas in California than Florida. And the quality of life is no better. The only difference between California and Florida is the humidity in the summer. That's it. Everything else is the same. It's the same standard of life. It's the same high costs. It's the plastic people. It's just the gas. I mean, you're literally saving. I mean, my wife and I estimated that we're saving like $8,000 a year in gas costs. And it's just when you start thinking about that, you're like, how is that possible that the cost of gas is $3 more a gallon in California than it is Florida? It's not.
Yeah, we were just in Texas and gas was $1.20 cheaper per gallon than it is here. And like 2 weeks ago, I think it was July 1st when some of the new taxes went into place. So we are very motivated to get out of this state. Let's put it that way.
How much does premium gas in Illinois cost?
Probably close to five almost.
Yeah, $4.29 to $4.79 or so.
So it's same as here. Texas is Florida. Cause I literally fill up my BMW with Sunoco or Shell. It is $3.59 and I'm getting 93. In California, you only get 91. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. Literally insane.
It's wild.
It's very different in all the different states. So this has been amazing. I think that the application ability of what we just talked about for a lot of people and diving into, you know, different options. So again, if you have not, go and listen to the previous podcast where we talk about what peptides are, why we utilize them, why they are a game changer right now in the space and why you need to be smart with them. And, you know, the foundations matter. So again, can you let people know where to find you, where to find these products? You've mentioned, obviously, your BioLongevity Labs and your online community, because I think that is another thing. I actually refer a lot of people to that community because people are like, you know, can you tell me how to mix this? And I'm like, hey, no, I can't because you're not a client. And so you can go and, you know,
yeah.
The community is great. They have a lot of awesome resources and stuff like that. So let people know where.
It's mostly people like you guys. I mean, the whole community is other health optimization people. And you know what I love about the community? And by the way, I do want to talk about this just for the women because we forgot because I was all over the place. Yeah. The one thing I love about the community is like we can literally argue with each other and nobody goes after each other. Like there's a woman in the community right now. I won't mention her name, but I love her. And, you know, she was talking about Dr. Berg last night and I was like, dude, Dr. Berg is an absolute clown show. Give me a break. Like he just had this deep thread about how dangerous testosterone optimization is on Twitter. And I'm just like, I mean, I know you both know this, but like we're now in a fight for information because the average person who goes to their primary care, you know, let's just call him quack doctor who knows nothing about the stuff that we talk about, literally nothing. And when I say that, I mean, I don't know if you saw this. I'll send this to you if you haven't seen this, but Eric Topol, right? Who's a famous longevity doctor, literally just wrote a giant article on Substack about peptides being pseudoscience. And I'm telling you, like everybody that's anybody like us went after him on Twitter and shamed him into him deleting his Twitter account. But so what's happening is, and this is really sad, but we're living to see this. And I don't blame them, but the older, let's just call them the late 50s and older doctors who basically, you know, came up in a world that now they have to deal with it. Everything they found out, everything they were taught was a lie, and that everything that they're now finding out is the opposite of what they were previously told or forced to learn, right, in medical school. And so now they're so angry. Not all of them, but most of them, instead of attacking the system, are attacking the people promoting the products that are changing the world. And so you have a lot of these doctors going after influencers and subject matter experts. Like, he was attacking Andrew Huberman, who's like the last guy that he should be attacking because he doesn't know shit about peptides and he admits it, but he was attacking him in the article. And I'm just like, this is insane what we're seeing. But I mean, if you think about it, if you're one of those people and you spent your whole life talking about the system and now the system is being obsolesced, right? Let's face it. Peptides are obsolescing the system. What would you do? I mean, you don't know any better. So it's just, it's really interesting. And the reason I brought that up is because, like, you're right. Like, in our group, clinicians can battle amongst each other and essentially make a counterpoint, and everybody's cool because we all know that we're just learning new stuff by the day and everyone's willing to change their opinion. No one in our group is like the dogma. You know what I mean? Like, they're not willing to like fight it. They're just like, hey man, this is amazing. We're learning stuff. Thank you for educating me. Thank you for giving me a different point of view. And so that's why I love that group. And so I appreciate you guys for being in there and promoting it and stuff like that. And honestly, that's my whole goal with that group is I want it to be the best collective on the planet. I want it to be newbies can get in there and learn and search. And then the best minds can also be in there and we can all just agree to disagree. But anyway, just real quick before we end. So BioSculpt is the product for women and men, of course, but women are going to find value in this because you can literally put this on your cellulite. It's six, and it's all on the label, but I'm not going to say it, but it's six bioregulator ingredients. This comes from Russia. This is a formulation that's been in Russia for over 20 years. I think it's called Vivax in Russia, but it's been specifically tweaked by our chemist to work on stubborn adipocytes, right? Which are stubborn fat cells. And so if you're a woman that has, as you said, cottage cheese, you know, in the glute hamstring tie-in, if you're a guy with too much belly fat, you know, again, you have to be somebody that's exercising, living insulin control, doing all the other things. I love Amy Horniman. She's like, I did the things, like the things, right? Like we all know and love. If you're doing those things and you add this product to the skin where you have struggled spots or stubborn areas, it will burn through it. It's truly revolutionary. Honestly, I never believed it because I'd seen all the topical fat burning creams. I've seen everything. I've been involved in all of them. I've been, you know, send them to me. I've tried them all. I never, you know, there was like Yohambeen HCL cream. I know you both remember this back in the day. Okay. Nothing works as good as this. Like you will, the first application, if you're exercising after you apply it, you'll feel heat in the area. Over time, it thins the skin. It drops water out. I mean, it will without a doubt work on anyone. And again, I was very reluctant to say that a year ago when we first started promoting this with my other company. And my formulator was like, I'm telling you, bro, because, you know, I learned my lesson. Like, you know, some people are just, they're dumpster fires cellularly and they just don't get results. But we continue to sell this out. We have lots of people that buy this. They're continuing to buy this. So I feel like any woman that has troubled spots should try this. It's not expensive, by the way. We sell it for $150. With a coupon, you can get it for $99 all the time. A vial of this will last a long time because you do not put that much on. You know, you put like a tip of your finger, right? So it'd be like that amount and you rub it in, you groove it into the areas. And I'm pretty sure that you will be blown away in 2 to 3 weeks. That's how effective it is. But again, it's called BioSculpt.
I'm excited to try it because back in the day, I'm not going to lie to you. I had some cream that was similar, but you put it on and then you had a wrap that you put on top of it.
Oh yeah. I remember that because they wanted to increase. It was I know the name of that product. It had aminophylline in it. I remember that product. Okay. It had Yohambeen HCL, aminophylline, force coleus. I remember all that. I remember that product. That product actually had some efficacy, but it was so impossible to use. You know, that you just was like, who the fuck is going to do this all the time?
I mean, it took a long time to also, after you finish your cardio, you'd be sweating, right? Then you had to like get it off your body with,
you know. Does it burn you?
Yeah, whatever. So I was just looking at this one the other day because I'm all about anything that will help. And to date, everything.
We'll send you guys some Bosom. You don't have to pay for it. Just email me. Just remind me and we'll send you some of it. Cause like we just ordered a giant shipment of it. So I'd be happy to send you some, but.
Well, I can be happy because people who've listened to this podcast for a few years know about my cottage cheese legs. I got off birth control, had a huge estrogen swing, boom, cottage cheese legs, then going, I cleared it all up. Got pregnant. Now on the other side, I'm back to the pre-pregnancy weight, but the cottage cheese legs are still hanging on. I'm like, damn it. So anyways,
Do you think it's partially genetic? Because I've seen a lot of women where it's just genetic. They get grooves in there and it's so hard to get rid of them.
Yes. My mom passed away when she was 66 of ALS, but my older sister's from her as well.
You guys all have the same regional body fat. Yeah. Yeah. It's normal. All right. Well, just email me and I'll be happy to send them to you. But for the listening audience, you can find me at jcampbell333 on social. And then of course my personal website, which has tons of free information, is jcampbell.com. And then you guys, the BioLongevity Labs, you guys have an affiliate code and a domain. So you want to send them there.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thank you so much again for coming back for part two today.
It was awesome. I definitely was a little all over the place today. I'm telling you, my brain.